Today's sermon is called 23andMe. My brothers and sisters in Christ, let us pray. Lord God of our Easter resurrection and new starts, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We've heard this psalm repeated and throughout our lives, our rituals, our liturgies, in our minds, in our hearts, in good times and bad. The 23rd psalm, I think the 23rd psalm remains the penultimate reminder. Whatever denomination and across both Jewish and Christian tradition of God's presence. So while we might be tempted to talk about sheep again this Sunday with the shepherd image, I'd like to steer us in a different direction. I'd like us to focus on some other aspects of those opening verses. Lying down in a green pasture, relaxing by a clear glass body of water. What do we see in our minds? If we were at an art exhibit or a museum, I think we'd see these pastoral landscapes and images, these broad, wide expanses. And in many of these paintings, many of these from the 19th century, the 18th and 19th century, they did this. And in many of these paintings, we would see no birds of the air or beasts of the field, and certainly very few, if any, humans. The scripture leads us to this image of vastness and stillness, and it invites us in. When I asked some of my colleagues, clergy colleagues, what stillness means, they defined it not in its attributes, but rather in its absences. The absence of movement, the lack of noise, the scarcity of civilization's imprint, such as buildings, lights, music, transportation. Stillness is, for us, and emptiness that sweeps away stimuli for our senses. And though they're often used interchangeably, I think the terms silence and stillness are not quite synonymous, because silence implies, in part, an absence of ambient noise. I get that. It's an absence of ambient noise together with an inner state or attitude that enables us to focus, right? To center on this presence of God. And yet stillness, for those who write our scriptures, is the place where we are called time and time again to find God. There is no absolute absence, because in stillness, God is always present. Be still and know that I am God. In the wind, we hear the small, still voice of God. Now, I think silence fosters stillness. It's indispensable for stillness, but inner stillness goes beyond silence. Inner stillness's aim, I think, is to purify our hearts. And it becomes having the ability to call out and to cry out to God, the pureness of a prayer. This purification of the heart, I think it involves the body in its entirety, because body and soul, like mind and heart, they're ultimately inseparable, aren't they? Because we live in our own skin, and our bodies are direct reflections of what's going on in our minds and hearts and souls. Isn't that right? in the words of Marcus Eremita, a 5th century ascetic that I was reading about, he said, "The intellect cannot be still unless the body is still also. And the wall between them cannot be demolished without stillness and prayer." And so, while silence is the prerequisite for inner stillness, and only inner stillness enables us to truly listen to God, to hear God's voice, and find God in the depths of our being, silence and stillness are, like prayer itself, gifts that God can and wants to bestow upon us. The greatest truth about us is that God created us with a profound longing, a burning thirst for union with the divine. I think we can easily convert that longing, though, and we do this quite a bit. We convert that longing for union with the divine into this idolatrous quest for something other than God to fill that longing, right? Such as yearning for power or status or money, because the union with the divine doesn't give our ego a reward, a separation, a domination. It doesn't reward us in any way. And yet, God remains faithful, even in our times of figuring out the long and winding road, the years of journeying, of figuring out that these things, these money, power, status, these domination matrices won't fulfill us. God always seeks us, though. God always seeks us, and even though we more and more rarely seek God, but like the prodigal child, God always awaits our return. Once we begin that journey homeward through repentance and an ongoing struggle against our most destructive passions, God reaches out, I think, to embrace and forgive and to heal in us all that is broken, wounded, wasted. God reaches into the very fabric of our lives to restore within us the image in which we were made. The original promise of Genesis. Now, at about this point, you might be thinking that the virtues of silence and solitude, virtues that lead to stillness, these remain ideal for monks, but not for me. With the usual demands in our time and the noise pollution that we all have to deal with at home, in the streets, our place of work, these virtues are a luxury that we just can't afford. And even if we really want to reshape our lives to introduce moments of sacred time and sacred space, the effort just seems to be too much. We're too rushed in the morning and too tired at night and too busy in between to even say a prayer. A few prayers or read a few lines of scripture. So how can we be expected to cultivate silence, solitude, and enduring stillness under such conditions? But that question is usually rhetorical, isn't it? It's not an actual objection. I think it's more of a refusal. And this is our ego talking. It's a refusal to engage or even try, like these New Year's resolutions that just fall by the wayside a few weeks into January. Our ego resists this stuff that is hard. But cultivating these virtues, I think, at least to a modest extent, is certainly possible. Now, it does require a certain discipline, and at first, a great deal of patience, but little by little, the experience of inner stillness creates this longing for God that is self-perpetuating. And gradually, like any habit, it becomes necessary. And gradually, like anything that's required for living, it's like eating, sleeping, breathing. And that stillness, that place of needing, stillness is a gift of grace. We can't fake it, I can tell you that, but we can take small steps to open ourselves to it. And the Holy Spirit responds to our efforts in unexpected ways. I think each of us has to find our own measure of quiet and a certain disposition towards prayer. For some folks, it's a certain space, right? It's just this corner in the bedroom or study, for example, and set as far as possible a fixed time each day, alone, away from phones or other distractions. We start to do nothing more than just breathe. The point is to get into the habit of making time. Make a conscious effort to relax your muscles and limbs and breathe deeply and slowly. Now, this isn't yoga, and these are not techniques. What we're doing here is we're reestablishing a natural harmony between our mind and body that we lost a long time ago in our frenetic pace we talked about just now. In the quiet, bring your mind and heart to focus on God's presence, and then allow the Holy Spirit to direct your prayer in whatever way is most appropriate, most necessary. Right? Ask for the forgiveness we talked about last week for those who we've offended or who've offended us. Let go of the grievances we spend so much time keeping track of. And pray for others, including those who have offended us, what Jesus calls our enemies, those folks who know just how to get to us with the words, actions, and deeds, and release that power away from your soul, back to God. But most importantly, pray for this day. Be grateful at this time for God's presence right here. Focus on the stillness of the water and the green fields, free of words and thoughts. Peace of God descends. And rest in that. I want to leave you with these final thoughts. Be still and know that I am God. That stillness acquired by this simple and faithful discipline and practice is both the prerequisite and the answer to prayer. On the one hand, it gives away a movement, a pilgrimage into the depths of a secret, a sacred heart. But once established in that sacred space, it reveals the presence of God and makes Him known in all of God's power, majesty, and love. God is stillness. And that wonderment helps us refine the wonderment of Scripture. And I think that's why the 23rd Psalm remains loved across all traditions and throughout the centuries. I hope that the peace of God guides you this day, and I hope you're going to give it a try. Because what's on the other side is so worth it. And for that, thanks be to God. Amen.